Blog Talk Radio.
We have Sister Adia with us. If you're there, give me a shout out, cousin, if you're there with us tonight.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here.
It is so good to be back at the table. You know, I missed y'all last week, and I haven't been able to go and hear the show from last week, but from what I've been able to see from the numbers, it seems like a lot of people were really, really interested in what y'all were talking about with some practical saving strategies. And I hope I'm not saying the name of the episode incorrectly, but it was good as far as the numbers were concerned, and I'm glad y'all had a good time. And that's to let everybody know, you know, when one person does away, everybody else on the PRF table is able just to continue on, so that everybody can bring to the table what it is needed for you and I. So once again, I'm welcoming everybody to the PRF table. If you've only been here, this is your first time, you're in for a treat. But tonight we're going to be talking about wills and inheritances, and I could tell you, I wish Brother Feaster was here, Dia, because this is, when we talk about wills, we're really talking about a continued act of stewardship, and hopefully Brother Feaster, once he gets settled back in, he'll be able to chime back in, and hopefully he'll put some things on the Facebook page as well. So with that, Sister Dia, let's just jump right into it. I've been dealing with, I started a series last night at church dealing with stewardship. And for this series that I started, it's really entitled Practical Stewardship. And for whatever reason, I really feel that it was kind of good for us to really just start talking about wills and inheritances. For I've been seeing a lot of people that have been going through certain types of situations. Some of the situations that people have been going through has been placing individuals to contemplate life. And I've been around individuals who, when they've gotten in placed in certain situations where they contemplate life, a lot of times that is a time when so many people that I have encountered or heard stories about Adia have thought about having a will, whether it was a will for your possessions, resources, and finances, or whether it was a living will, or whether it's a trust for their children. So all of those things are lumped into what we call wills and inheritances. And what I want to do is get the message across to everybody that preparing these things in advance is something that is so beneficial for your family, the people who you leave behind. Because if you wait, it may be too late. There's been instances where people have been on their, quote-unquote, their deathbed or been in an incapacitated state and not able to prepare the documents or not able to communicate what they want to happen with their physical body or with their physical stuff. So, again, we have to be, as creatures of God, dear, we have to be so proactive when it comes to this. And from the things that I've been teaching lately over the last couple of weeks, what I've been finding out is that a lot of us have not been as proactive as we need to be. And Adia, do you remember one time Brother Feaster talked about, he gave a story about a man that was on top of a building and the water started rising because of a flood. And a boat kept coming across. One boat came. Actually, he needs some help, and the man said he was waiting on God. Then another boat came, and the man said to him, I'm waiting on God. And then eventually he said, God, what's going on? I'm waiting for you to send me some help. And God said, I've sent you already two boats. What are you waiting on? And so Brother Fisto, of course, tells that story a whole lot better than I did. But I think the reality is, if we are willing to do the things that we have the ability to do while there is yet still time, one, I believe God will always be pleased with us, and two, it will be beneficial to our family members and our friends and those who leave behind, because it's not just about this subject tonight. It's not just about what's going to be left behind for your family. It's also about what about these individuals. As a minister, if somebody passes away and they don't have a will, and then they come to the church and they say, we need help with the burial, or after everybody goes home, you know, those couple of days when everybody goes home after a funeral, what about these other things that are going on? There wasn't any insurance left. So these are the type of things that I feel strongly about, Adia, that we have to be so boisterous in being able to talk about them, especially within the church. Because if we're not talking about them within the church, where else are we going to talk about them at?
Exactly.
So I'll yield the floor to you, Adia, because I think a lot of people have really chimed in or have jumped on just to listen to this conversation. So what's your thoughts on this as we begin the show tonight?
Well, I think that when it comes to wills and inheritances, that they are topics that should not be avoided. And I think sometimes they are because we may not have the knowledge, or we may think of these topics as meaning that you have to be wealthy. And I say that because when you look at TV and how they may portray a will or an inheritance, is normally from a wealthy point of view. It's normally from those that have monetary type, influence.
A lot of stuff.
Yes. It's normally people that have a lot of stuff, and it has a lot of value to it, so that if it might be a business, or, you know, people may have had houses or land and, you know, jewelry, vacation homes. And so I think that for the average person, it can be intimidation because they're looking at it like, I don't have those things. But a will is not tied to those things. And so I think once we understand what a will is and what it can do for you and your family once you're no longer here on this earth, or what it can do while you're still here on this earth, because there may be cases to where, you know, you cannot – I mean, there are cases where people have been in the hospital or in a coma, and there are certain things that needed to be in place that should something happen to me, whether it's temporary or permanently, these are things that I need done. And so if we don't have something like that in place, then people don't know what to do. And I think the most frustrating thing is when nothing is in place, but there's an expectation for something to be done. But there's no direction and there's no guidance. And just going back to the whole part about the wills and how some people may be intimidated because of what may be portrayed in the media or on TV or things that we hear or read, I just think that it's important that we look at a will as leaving something behind. And that's the only thing that really just comes to mind, is just leaving something behind, you know, that has value, that can what's the word I'm looking for? Be passed down from one generation to the next, that can stay inside the family and mean something. I mean, I know people that have, you know, their family members have land that have been in their family for a long time, and they don't sell it. And I was just having a conversation with somebody, I want to say earlier this week, we were talking about something like this, and we were just saying, you know, how important it is that we keep things in our families, because a lot of times, you know, people will get businesses, and you'll have, like, the younger generations, they don't know what to do. And so the quickest thing for them to do is to sell it. And now here's a business or something that's been, or land that has been in their families for hundreds of years, generations, and has been passed down. And because it's too much work to have to manage it, or because they see the money, the big dollar signs, they'd rather have that, but those are temporary things. That money's not going to last, but that land is something that you can hold on to. It's something tangible, and it has a history and a lineage behind it. And the Word of God does talk about leaving an inheritance behind for our children's children's children. So I think when you look at the biblical principle of it, when you look at the value, when you look at the historical aspect of it, that no matter what TV portrays, no matter how much you think you don't have, you have something of value that you can leave behind and that you should want to pass on to the next generation. And that next generation should be educated and told the historical, told about the historical aspect and values of that, of whatever it is, so that they know that this is important. And I don't want you to just get it and just give it away. And I think it's really important that we do that. And I think that this is a good topic, you know, so that we understand how wills help us, how it helps our family should, you know, in our absence due to death or whatever the case may be. I think that once we have an understanding, I know definitely for me, have an understanding of the different types of wills, what they, the roles that those wills play, and what they will do, you know, could do for my family in the future, I think that everybody will leave the table full. And that's, you know, probably the part that I would want to add, at least at this moment in time. Nate.
And I think that's good. The thing that you said, and I think that's what one of the last things that you just said, it's something that I think a lot of people have in their minds, idea, but they just don't verbalize it. What's the value in me having a will? Mm-hmm. If we live and subscribe to a society where being rich or having a lot of stuff defines your self-worth, then there's going to be a lot of individuals who will not participate in this act of stewardship, continued stewardship, biblical stewardship, by making sure that they prepare and have together a will, not just for themselves, but for their families. So I think that's something very, very important, what you said, and I really would love people to just really take a hold to it so that they can, as they listen to the rest of the show, are kind of getting it down into their spirit. You mentioned a scripture. I'll tell you what scripture it was about a good man. You mentioned Proverbs 13:22. And in that it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So if we think about having a will as a continued act of stewardship, that means it's not about what I just passed down to my children. It's not what I passed down to our three daughters. It's what I passed down to our three daughters' children. Mm-hmm. Passing something down, think about, I mean, y'all think about this, all of y'all who are listening. To think about passing something down beyond the children that you currently have or beyond the children that you don't even have right now takes something very, very godly to happen within you, because it's going to take some preparation. It's going to take some thought. Hopefully it's going to take some wisdom that's coming within you. So I'm really, really prayerful, and I'm really believing that a lot of folks are really going to start chiming in. Matter of fact, here's somebody that just wants to chime in now, because it is such a very, very important topic, and it's up to us to talk about it. So caller with the last 4-2-0-2-3, welcome to the PRI table.
Hello, everyone. I'm really not supposed to be here right now. I'm gonna leave my comment, and I'm going to say my comment, and then I'll have to jet off to some more stuff. But this is an awesome topic, and I wish I could stay for the whole thing. But so I want to piggyback off of what Sister Adia said, because not only is a will important for legacy's sake, because I think that's where y'all are headed with the conversation right now. It's not about your kids necessarily. It's not about your kids. If you can do it for 3, 5, 10 generations after you have gone, that's the legacy that you've left to your family. And so especially if you're somebody who struggled in your childhood to get what you have now or to attain whatever is meaningful to you, be it a piece of jewelry, be it, you know, land, be it a business, be it, you know, a monopoly, whatever it be, wherever it may be, you leave a legacy for those that will come after you so that they don't have to go start where you started. They should be continuing the legacy and not have to start over necessarily. So the second thing is not just a will, not a will, but a power of attorney, a medical durable power of attorney, because being in the medical career field, there are a lot of people, nobody expects to be incapacitated. But once you are incapacitated, you'd be surprised at the discord that comes behind what to do for your health, what to do with your belongings, who has the say over your belongings. And be it your spouse, your significant other, your child, there will be discord if there is nothing written saying what you want done with your property, with your affairs, with your remains, for your treatment. Let's say you don't die, but for your treatment, how do you want your treatment to go? So that, keep thinking along those lines, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. And there are a lot of people who are in fear. You know, they have a, they feel like if you speak about it, it will happen. In the population that I'm working with now, they refuse to speak of death. They will not talk about death. You ask them about a advanced directive, which is a medical durable power of attorney or a power of attorney, they look at you strange because they consider it, you know, that you're wishing death on them. But every man is appointed a day to die. Okay, so it's going to happen, and it's inevitable. If you prepare for it, you spare your family some. There's still probably going to be hurt feelings and, you know, people are going to miss you, but you'll spare them the anguish of trying to decide what to do with you, what to do with your affairs, with your property, and all of that stuff. So a will, medical durable power of attorney, and a power of attorney, those are very important documents to have, regardless of how much you feel you have or how little you feel you have. They're still very important, because what you have left, or what's the affairs that have to be taken care of when you're incapacitated, are very complex. And if you designate that person or those people to make the decisions, it makes life easier on them, and the decision for your care is easier too. So as far as the legacy go with the will is focused on your property pretty much. And that gives direction for your property as well. So, again, makes life easier. And unfortunately, a lot of times when, like, the matriarch or the patriarch of the family passes away, there's bad blood. Bitter blood results over the arguments over the stuff and the decisions that are made. And that's a way to prevent a lot of that stuff from happening. If you have it pre-written, then, you know, families can grieve together if that's what they need to do, and then move on as a unit and not have those divides. So it's those are very good documents to consider and make sure you put in place. They're not expensive for the most part. A lot of times they're standardized. So I just wanted to chime in with that bit of information before I had to jet off.
I got you. And what we want to do, if you don't mind, we want to have you, since you are in that medical field, you know how I am. You know, I'm not an expert in anything, so I like to get the experts. I think when you have time, we would love to have you back on the show, because I think we're going to be on this topic for a little while, so we can really get some good information and really let people ask those questions and really deal with the fears that people have and hear some of the stories in depth about what you actually have experienced in relation to this. So if you're willing to do that, we know you got to jet off right now and take a seat away, but I'll be back in touch with you, my sister.
Okay, okay. Y'all have a good evening.
You.
Okay,
you too. Adia, you know, we only been on the show for, what, about 15 minutes now? And look at all the information that has just been provided to the listeners. So, and this is what I want people to realize. Realize that what we're talking about, there's a lot to it, but there's not a lot to it for everybody. So one of the things that I want to make sure that we really deal with is I've come up with four categories. From teaching this for so long, I've come up with four categories of why people don't prepare wills or why people don't keep up-to-date wills, or why people's wills are invalid. One is a lack of preparation or a lack of organization. The second one is a spirit of procrastination. Regardless of what your faith is, if you are procrastinated, then that is a spirit. The third is a spirit of fear. We know the Bible tells us that God did not give us a spirit of fear. And the fourth is a lack of knowledge or a lack of ignorance. And let me ask you, Adia, which one of those four do you think so many most people have a problem with?
I'm not going to say fear.
Fear?
Mm-hmm.
Fear and the lack of fear and the lack of knowledge and lack of ignorance are the top two. I don't know which one is the top or not. It depends on the environment that or the setting that you're in. But since you said fear, why do you say the spirit of fear?
I say fear because with fear it means that you're scared to go into something that you don't know about. So because the fact of something being unknown to you, it's not a comfortable
mm-hmm.
place. And so you have to move beyond being uncomfortable to go into a realm of knowing nothing, and most people don't want to do that. No, most people
mm-hmm.
don't want to just say, you know what, I got offered this awesome job to go work in Portland, Oregon, but I don't
mm-hmm.
know anybody in Portland, Oregon, so I'm not going to step out and just take this job because I don't know anybody there. But the
mm-hmm.
job is there for you, the job that you, and don't let me even throw in the job that you've been praying for. That God
right.
answered the prayer. You shared that with everybody and put it on Facebook, how God just blessed you with this awesome job of your dreams, and you know it was
mm-hmm.
him, but now you're scared to move out because I don't know anybody there, or that's a, you know, I'm not going to be near family, or I'm not going to have a support system. So I say fear of the unknown because it's an uncomfortable place for us to be because there's nothing familiar there. And
mm-hmm.
so whatever is unfamiliar to us, we don't like to do it. And that's why I said fair.
And let me piggyback off of that. And this should be an encouragement to anybody who's listening who has that spirit of fear in this area. Because what you just said was about a job. How many of us actually went to school, went off to college? So I can add college to that. How many of us actually took a promotion on our jobs? Without knowing how well we would actually do.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we really would have the support that we actually needed. We overcome fear all the time as human beings, all the
mm-hmm.
time. So for me, what it is in dealing in this area is really about having us to address whatever the fear is. Like my sister just said, when she brings that up, they don't want to talk about it. They think it's taboo. So if we're able to say or to be able to help people to understand, forget about fear of having fear of preparing a will, because that's not the thing. The thing is the spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's the spirit of fear in general. So if we can deal with, you've overcome some things of fear in your life. And if I can get you to talk about something that you've overcome in your life in regards to that you had some concerns about or you were fearful about, then now I can help build your confidence and move to this particular area. But we have to have conversation with folks. We have to be willing to talk to individuals about what's going on. If somebody just recently had somebody to pass away and there was no issues within the family structure, then they may still be grieving the loss of that loved one, and that may not be the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Another time when it's really not a right time to talk about it is when somebody passes away and doesn't have a will or that's still fresh on their minds. Or they're dealing with the fact that because the person did not have a will, there are certain things that are not coming to them that probably would have come to them in a shorter amount of time frame without having to go through the courts. So all of those things, I really believe that when we help individuals to deal with that spirit of fear, then preparing a will is not going to be as difficult as that person may actually believe. And for me, the lack of preparation and lack of organization, that all boils down to stewardship. So if somebody is not willing to prepare a will or doesn't want to prepare a will because they haven't prepared themselves or they haven't organized their stuff, then that means they're probably not being the best type of steward that they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to prepare a will, you have to be able to outline the quote-unquote things that you actually have. And if you have an outline of the things that you actually have, if you know that you have a car, if you know that you have a house, and you have other information that is needed to actually go into the will to be able to identify, you know, you can't just say, I want to leave my car to my mama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, really, that's really not going to get it. Because you may have two cars, and one of those cars may be in your spouse's name, co-with you. So now that becomes a problem, and somebody else has to intervene. So you have to be detailed. All of that comes from just saying, okay, let me go ahead and be a good steward over the things that I have and identify what I have. And this thing of procrastination, let me tell you, dear, I have heard that so much from so many people, family members, church people, or not. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And my heart bleeds for folks. Because when I realize that that person is no longer here, and I remember the conversation that we had, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, Reverend. I'm going to do it, Reverend. Okay. Because the reality is, Adia, none of us can make anybody prepare a will.
Nope.
But as our sister just said, the reality is everybody's going to die one day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to us. It's up to us. And I probably wouldn't have this mindset if I didn't have three traumatic experiences in my life several years ago, kind of like back-to-back, where every last person that passed that was close to me, none of them had wills.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of them is Pop.
Mm-hmm.
My pop had a will from when he was married to my mom back in the 70s. That will was no longer valid because my pop had remarried, my mom had remarried, and then there was other stuff. So it became almost what could have been a very complicated and negative situation, and it was for a little while. So let me give it to you, because if we don't talk about this, then people don't realize the gravity of it. So my pop was married for like 6 months before he died. And when he died, he always used to tell me, Nate Jr., when I die, you're going to be the executor of my estate. He used to say that all the time, for years, Adia. And I'm like, okay, make sure you take care of your brother. Okay, I got you, Pop. You know, you set it up, I'm going to take care of it, you know. And do you know, after he passed, Aunt Jay was the one who actually had the will. But that will had not been updated in almost 20-something years.
Oh, Lord.
So you probably didn't know this, cuz Aunt Jay had the will. And Aunt Jay did not even bring the will up to the funeral. So now we don't know what's going on with his stuff. And the reality is some bad things happened with his stuff because there was nothing legal that we had. So without that documentation, I couldn't even step in, because there was nothing, which means the only way that I could have said, I want my daddy's records, and go to the court and say that, is if I had something from my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So now we talk about conflict. Now we talk about confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that God is not the author of confusion. And that's just one instance, Adir. I got a couple other ones, but I may share some of those with some of the other shows. And I'm going to tell you something. I vow to myself, I will never, as a father, and nothing bad against Pop at all, because one of those four things that I mentioned, those four categories, is a lack of knowledge and lack of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that Pop, out of spite, out of any malicious type of intent, said, I'm not going to update my will.
Yeah.
I don't think he did that. I don't believe that at all. But because of ignorance, because of maybe some procrastination, whatever it was, there was something there that provided a spirit of him not doing certain things. And again, I think from all those years of telling me that I'm the executor of his estate, I believe he really believed that. I believe he believed, like a lot of people, when I die, I got my oldest son, he's going to handle business. When I die, I got my oldest daughter, she's going to take care of business because she's responsible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of older folks, older than us, think that that's the way it's going to happen. And they also think that a lot of folks are not going to fuss and fight over stuff. And that's not a true statement either. Because it's not about who's not going to fuss or not who's not going to fight. The reality is it's about who's not going to do something and what is not there in writing for somebody in case there's another child somewhere out there that you didn't know about. Uh-oh. That makes it very, very difficult. That throws a monkey wrench in the game. What if there was a house that was there? And we all go home all the time. We go back to the same, what they call it out here in the country, the home house. And now you and I are sisters and brothers. Now we both have an ownership in that house. But you don't want to pay the taxes on it, Adia. And I'm not trying to pay all the taxes. I believe that you should pay some of the taxes because it's in both of our names.
Mm-hmm.
Or what about you don't want to do any of the upkeep? What about if I'm overseas serving my country in Korea like Feaster? Somebody has to take care of that property, but are we just going to let it go because you don't want to take care of it? So I may think, you know what, let's just sell it.
Mm-hmm.
But you may not want to sell it, but you
yep.
may not want to do anything about it.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? All
and
of these are things, are, I'm telling you what I know from dealing with people, not just from being a minister, but also dealing in this area of finance. And I've seen the hurt, I've seen the pain that it causes. So we
so
want people.
What do you do?
To,
I mean.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, like, I mean, what do you do in an instance like that? I mean, if it's not happening to you, I mean, maybe not advice, but what are some things that you can tell both parties involved so that they can come to some type of resolution, not maybe a compromise, but a resolution to see the bigger picture? Because I think sometimes a lot of decisions are out of emotion and out of, you know, personal interest and gain. Like I was talking about, you know, you have the people who have had businesses in their families for years and years, and then the younger generation gets it, and instead of them understanding the value and the hard work that went into making that build that business the success that it is today, they see the dollar sign. So how do you get people to see beyond what their own, I guess, in a way or sense, selfish or personal gain or interest is? Or how do you get people to see the bigger picture to where this is something that we can hold on to with our family and always have? How do, I mean, that's the part that I think that a lot of people miss out on.
My simple response is through teaching. If we're not taught that an inheritance, not the will, because there was no wills in the Bible. I probably can give you one scripture or one biblical instance where I can say it was a will, but not like the type of will that we have today. But an inheritance is the biblical principle. So we have to have in our mind that if we're going to enact a biblical, the biblical principle
mm-hmm.
of inheritance, then we have to have a good understanding or some basis of knowledge about what stewardship is.
Mm.
And it's not something that just automatically comes to our minds. It's not stuff that we talk about every single day. It's not something that a 10-year-old is going to even be interested in. But if we teach the principles, then we can follow it up with some, quote-unquote, some a little more formal type of education later on down the road where it starts to click. That's what my mom was talking about when I was 10 years old, when I was 11 years old, because we teach principles of stewardship all day. We just don't talk about, hey, Nate, this is stewardship. Clean up your room. You see what I'm saying? We don't use those, at least not in my household. We didn't use it, and I don't use it necessarily in my household now. Without children, I don't say it like that, but I do let them know God ain't pleased with this room looking like this, and I had to get convicted myself because I remember at the beginning of the year I told you one area that I was going to work on or try to work on in relation to PRF was stewardship. And it's tough. It really is, depending on how busy you are. So, and that's the thing. You say, what do you do in that time? The only thing that you can do during that time, Adia, is try to get conflict resolution in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the ship is going down, but all you can do is try to keep it afloat. Because trying to teach these principles in these moments of chaos, in these moments of confusion, is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody is dealing with certain types of emotions, and everybody's dealing with certain types of grief, or dealing with grief in their own way. So you're not going to get two people to come together on what should we do with the house if one person is attached to the house and the other person is not attached to the house. I haven't lived in Philly in 20 years. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that house may not be that important to me. But you never left Philly.
Yeah.
You never left mom and dad's side. So it is important to you. You went over there every Sunday for dinner while I lived in a whole other place. So you're dealing with grief, and my dealing with grief is two different things. We're experiencing the loss of the family member or the loved one, but when it comes to the stuff, it may not, the stuff may not be as important as it is to you as it is to me. And I think we have to keep that in mind. So the question that you ask is one of those good questions that everybody can listen to and say, I really choose not to be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that I can do? Make some adjustments. Let me give you everybody at least one scripture tonight. One is going to come out of Numbers chapter 27. And this is what it says. Why should the name of our father be removed from among his family because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers. So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Moses, the daughters of Zelophehad. Speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among your father's brothers and cause the inheritance of your father to be passed down to them. In that instance, in that culture, inheritance was not passed down to daughters. It was passed down to who, Adia?
To the
sons, to the males. Because the culture was the male was the one to continue on taking care of the family.
Mm-hmm.
We also know the story of what, and I hate to use the terminology, but in Luke 15, a lot of people call it the prodigal son, another story that deals with inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
The older son didn't ask for his father's, his part of his inheritance. It was the younger son. And we don't talk about it that much. I know I've spoke on it and preached on it before. But the fact that that younger son went to the father and asked for his inheritance, and the fact that the father gave him that inheritance, he was wrong. So the father was the one who messed up. Because you don't give anybody their inheritance now. You have their inheritance to leave it for them afterwards. And the reality is, in that instance, if the father would have said, no, your inheritance is not for now, it's for later.
Mm-hmm.
Then there wouldn't have been that strife at the end of that story if we go back to the end of the parable for those of us who want to just go look at Luke 15, where the older son said, hold on, you haven't given me this. You haven't given me that. You haven't given me a signet ring. You haven't had a party for me. And at the end of that parable, the parable, Jesus leaves that parable where the son, you don't read where the son goes in to enjoy the feast with his brother and his father. That's how a lot of situations are in our society today. They're just left where they are. And relationships are not where they need to be in our family structure. Because somewhere along the way, there was some misconception, some notion about this is how I'm going to do it. If you go back to what I read out of Numbers, Moses brought that case before God.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to a will, I tell anybody, I don't have to call it a Christian will. I say if you are going to prepare a will, there needs to be a consultation with God, not just your family members, Adia, but with God. Let God direct who you're going to give what to.
Mm-hmm.
Because if God says to me, give Adia, cousin Adia this, give your daughter this, give your daughter that, I can feel confident knowing that God is going to take care of that situation. But if I say, you know what, Adia pissed me off yesterday, So as I prepare my will today, I'm not going to leave her anything. If I had a son, which I don't, so I can say it like this and not speak anything negative into my life, but if I had a son who was on drugs, and for me to say, well, my son is on drugs, so therefore I'm not going to leave him anything because all he's going to do is mess over it. But if I went to God and God said, leave him whatever, leave him this or leave him that, then I need to be obedient to God, regardless of what the situation is right now. Because remember, we don't know what God is going to do in anybody's life. And if God tells me to do it that way, and I do it that way, I don't have anything to worry about. But if I leave it up to my own mind, if I leave it up to my own device, it's going to be a disaster somewhere down the line. I know of somebody who left a child $1 in their will, and they had multiple children. Now, let me tell you something, and I teach this as well. If somebody has multiple children, let's say that person has three children, and I'm glad we're just talking just in general terms, but a person has three children, and they have $100,000. That's all that they have. That's all their possession. That's all they have is $100,000. And they leave $40,000 to one son, $40,000 to the other, $9,995 to somebody else, and $5 to the fourth one, if I said that correct. That really can't be contested. It can be contested in court. But for it to be upheld, it's not going to happen. Because that person, the judge will be able to see that that person made a conscious decision to give all their four siblings or their four children something. That's not a godly way of doing things.
No.
Because here's what we can do. If I had that son who was on drugs or was living a lifestyle that I thought was unbecoming, and as I'm preparing for myself, you know what? I really can't leave this house because I know what they do at their own house. So I can't really leave the house to that son. If I was to do that in my own strength, and what I'm saying is that God has no ability to turn that situation around. God has no ability. I'm limiting what God can actually do. But you know the greatest danger in that idea? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children.
Yep.
So could I set that up for my son's child? Yes, I can. Could I set what's called a trust up? Yes, I can. Can I put some parameters on if I passed away or when I passed away, it not going to my son who is having this difficult time in his life right now, but if he gets himself together within a certain amount of time, then it will be given to him. Or if he doesn't, then it goes to his children. You see what I'm saying? So there's ways that we can go about this thing and still be pleasing to God in how we do it. There has to be a will in order to do a will. I don't believe, Adia, that God is taking excuses for how some people, and I'm not going to say me because I'm not in that category anymore, but how some of us, some of our brothers and sisters are going to leave stuff behind and have their family members to deal with it. It's not good.
It isn't. And I just wanted to add in, you know, I remember when I bought my first house, you know, my whole mindset of I had two reasons to why I bought it, and I really, you know, I believe in just praying pretty much about a lot of things. But when I bought it, it was just like, well, this was a good investment. Because I knew I wouldn't stay and wasn't going to be in Georgia for a long time. But I've always wanted to live in Georgia. I love the area. But I was looking at it from definitely a biblical and spiritual standpoint that this is something I can have for my children. And so I was driven even the more to say that I want to leave something behind for my children. And not just it wasn't just a thought, but it was something that I did, and these are conversations that I've had with them and also with my husband to say, hey, I know that we're married, but I think that we should have that when we do investments like that in a home, I said, I think that we should be thinking beyond us. I said, because one day we're not going to be here, but we have children that are still here. And so my mindset was, I want to leave this house behind. I want to be able to leave something behind for each of my children. And the home was what I was in my mindset. And so as I prayed about it, I was just like, I just felt like there was this peace. And so I've spoken to my children, especially my oldest son, who he may not fully understand it, but to know that there is a piece of property for him that you cannot sell, because it is a blessing. It is something that is being passed on to you. And I look at an inheritance, when we just saying the word blessing is that, or a gift is that, you don't have to do anything to receive it. When there is an inheritance, you didn't have to do anything, but because by relationship, something with you were you become a part of it. And I think that's a lot of times what family members miss, that you didn't do anything to get this. You didn't do anything to get this house or this car or this business or this land, or if your family members left you a dollar or some gold earrings that's been in the family for 1,500 years, you didn't have to do anything. And so when I look at that, you know, even talking about the prodigal son, that son didn't have to do anything to get that inheritance. But because he was born into that family, it was that birthright. And so I think that when we begin to look at wills and when we begin to look at inheritances and what they really mean, you didn't have to do anything. And so it's a blessing and it's a gift. And the only thing you're supposed to do is receive it. And now that's where I see the connection of stewardship coming in. Because you didn't have to do anything to earn it, you should do your very best to take care of it, to be a good manager of something that you didn't have to work hard for, but somebody else's blood, sweat, and tears and labor and toiling and tearing and whatever other things that they may have to go into what it is that you've been giving should be taken into consideration, because it's some things are not easy. Things that people have acquired, or they worked hard for it. You weren't there when they were up all hours of the night trying to get this business off the ground to get it to where it is, but now you're ready to sell it because you see the money. And so I think that when we're educated and we fully understand the blessing behind a will and an inheritance and how the role that it plays for us and how we can pass that on to our children and to their children and to their children, I think we would appreciate it and understand that we have, it's more than just a quick dollar. It's more than just taking it to the pawn shop to get the money for it. It's more than just, you know, moving somebody up in there and saying, oh, I got a house and I don't have to take care of it. But to understand the story behind it and definitely the blessing behind it and how God is definitely in it. And I think that it'll change the perspective and the mindsets that some of us have when it comes to things that we don't have to work for.
Let me throw something out there. And again, I'm going to hammer it a lot about a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Let me give you an example of stock. I'm not concerned about, you know, whether you're a very big investor in stocks. And caller 6983, give me 1 minute. Let me make this one comment. I'm coming to you. I see you. Can you imagine that if back in 1987, when Walmart was really, really small as a company, back in 1987, can you imagine as a parent saying, you know what? I don't really know too much about this company. I'm going to just go ahead and purchase about 5 or 10 shares of this stock. And can you imagine as a parent back during that time saying, I'm going to designate my Walmart stock to my child? Hmm. And then now all of a sudden you think about this, and let's say I had passed away back in, say, 2000, and let's say I had purchased more stock. Back in 87, Walmart stock was like less than $5 a share. Today, Walmart stock is over $76 a share. It's not the price, but can you imagine if you had 100 shares of stock at $5 back in 1988 and had left that to your children? Don't you know how that could have been beneficial to a part of the college education tuition for a child? Don't you know that could have been part of helping to take care of some wedding expenses? So we have to think beyond just the immediate and look to the long term. So caller with the last four of 6983, welcome to the PRF table. Caller, last four, 6983.
Hey, all I'm right. Sorry, still had the phone on mute. This is Brother Lee again.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Yeah, I was waiting, trying to get to a good stretch of highway without going in and out. But I was listening, and it actually brought back something. Just this past Thanksgiving, we all got together, and we were sitting down, and my grandmother, she said, she's 77 years old. She'll be 78 in December. And she said, she kept saying, no, we're going to sit down while I'm here. And the initial thought, then it goes to that saying, what are the reasons, those four reasons? The initial thought is, oh, no, she's sick. She's talking about a will. Mm-hmm. Grandma, you can't be dying. So we were all thinking, like, let's make sure she's okay. But what she said really stood out. She said, no, this should have been done before, but I'm in my right mind. And I want to talk about it. And she went down, and we actually put stuff together. There are documents that you can find online, and it tells you legally what state, based on the state she lives in, what needs to be done. And we went through all of that. And she named my uncle and myself, and she brought the other kids, because even though I'm not the kid, but she felt like my uncle and I were the two responsible parties, sort of like how you said your father said, he wants you to be the executioner. And she sat there and she brought the other kids up just so they understood. Even my father said, hey, I want you to know there's nobody's doing anything, but I want you to know I want these two to run. And then we went through stuff and it kind of goes to another story you were talking about, saying, hi, you get to the funeral and you find out there's another kid. When we were talking, one of my uncles, he has some kids, but he was never married to one of his kids' mother, but she has a daughter, and they pretty much adopted her, and she spends a lot of time with my grandmother, whereas my uncle was married, because he was one of those situations where he was married and had a kid from the wife and the girlfriend at the same time, but that's a whole different story. But she felt more, my grandmother felt more for the daughter that wasn't even her actual granddaughter. She said, you know what? Because I was like, Grandma, are you sure? What about Ashley? You know, that's, she has your last name. She's a Wilson also. She said, no, listen to me. She never comes around unless she wants something, whereas this other girl has been around, has taken care of me, even though we're not blood related. And it was just one of those things, without her putting it on paper, saying that, then somebody who she honestly felt like didn't deserve something would have been entitled to something. But she was like, no, let's do this. And that's what we have to do. We have to overcome that fear. And when you add another part to it, if your parents put a will together and you sit down and you talk to them, then it's more than likely that you're going to do the same thing to your kids, and your kids are going to do the same thing to their kids, and that's how you passing stuff down. You know, because she even gave me something. I said, Grandma, I don't want that. I live too far away. And she was like, well, I'm glad you said it. So now we're talking. So you're not giving me something that I have no inkling. I don't want it. But she let me know how important certain things were that were passed down from her mother, my great-grandmother. And I was like, wow, now it stood out more because I know what it means to her. So I end up saying, you know what, I will take those because I didn't realize those dishes that you got from Granny were so special. So, yes, I'll take the dishes because that's something I can pick up. But it's just, I was glad to have that conversation this past Thanksgiving. It's like, wow, you know, she's thinking it more so than even some of her kids. And she can, as a 77-year-old lady, she's like, let's put this will together. And that's something that we definitely have to share within our families. So that was my comment.
Hey, brother, I appreciate it. Somebody needs to hear that because there may be a similar situation in somebody else's family. A couple of things that you said important, and caller last 469-45, I'm coming to you next. But she talked about she's in her right mind. I love that because there's no questioning. There's no contesting that. All of y'all heard Grandma say, I'm in my right mind, versus somebody doing something shady to the side.
Right.
The other point was, and I'm glad you came around to realizing how valuable that was, mm-hmm. for Grandma to say, I want to give you this. You didn't see the value in it. You asked the question, what's the value earlier?
Yeah.
You didn't see the value in it. But Grandma knew what the value of it was. And so think about it. 15 years ago, back in 1988, if my grandfather would have left me 100 shares of Walmart stock, they were only about $4 a share, I guarantee you I would have said, oh, okay, whatever. But I promise you right now, if I had 100 shares of Walmart stock at $76.14 a share, I would have been praising God for Granddaddy, praising God for him. So caller with the last 469-45, welcome to the PR table. Caller 6945.
Oh, hello.
Hello, how you doing this evening?
I'm fine. I'm good. I just kept
what's your comment?
The conversation. I really don't really know what the conversation was. I just caught the tail end, so.
Okay. Well, you feel free to continue to listen. We're talking about wills and inheritances and just continue to listen, all right?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
I'm here. I wanted to share, Shatara said something that was just, that really, struck my memory. One of my classes that I was taking, that I took a couple of years ago, we had to do our final, golly, I think it was like our final wishes or final something, you know, but it was dealing with death. And I will tell you, that was like the most, it was very challenging. And I remember emailing my instructor and just sharing with her how I cried as I had to type up this assignment, because the reality of what death meant became, it was like it's future, but it met me at that present moment. And in doing that writing assignment, it definitely helped me to work through those fears that I had. Because we can all talk about death freely, like, oh, you know, like, yeah, we're all going to leave here one day. But until you have to begin to prepare those documents, even though we're not thinking that we're going to die tomorrow or in the next hour or so, we don't understand the fear that is there. And so I remember meeting that fear straight in the face and saying, you know what, I need to do this. And I was talking to John about it, and he was like, you know, I don't want to talk about that. I said, but it's going to happen one day, so don't you think you need to have something written down? And I really appreciated that assignment, and I just wanted to share that it was not easy. However, when you take the time to write out what it is that you want in your final days, or your final whatever it is that you want to call it, because I can't remember the name, the exact title of the assignment, the pressure and that fear that we were talking about earlier begins to subside, because now you're putting something in action. And just like on last week when we were talking about, we changed up the title of it to Executing Your Savings Plan. We can talk about, oh, we're going to do this, and I got this great idea, I'm going to save to do this. But when you begin to put that plan down on a piece of paper, you begin to see how there are a lot of components to it that you may be missing, that you may not have considered yet. And so as I was writing that plan out, I mean, the tears were streaming down my face, but I was so thankful to God for that opportunity, because now I got to put thought into what I was doing. And it really just helped to ease of that fear, and it helped me to to understand how important this was for other people to carry on my affairs, like the Shatara talked about the advance directive, and just what is it that you want people to do with your body? Who do you want to do with your body? Where do you want to be buried? Because a lot of times we don't even think about those things. What if, you know, I remember, you know, before my mom died, I always asked her about her books. I just have this dream that I'm going to have a library one day. I still have books from when I was in college, from when I was in high school. I have my children's books from when they were babies, and I still have those things. And I envision me having a library so that when people come to my house, no matter how old or young they are, they can go into this room and pick a book off the shelf and sit down and read it. And so I remember talking to my mother some years ago, and I was like, Mommy, I was like, can I have your books? And she used to be like, girl, stop. You always trying to come here and take my books. And I'm like, no, Mom. I was like, you have really good books, and I want them because I could see the vision of this library. And so when my mom died, I remember us, and she did not have a will. We did not get to that point, and I really wish that I had pushed my mom before she even got sick to do it, because we had talked about it and we were going to pull up the documents and, you know, things happen. But I remember that conversation, and I want to share this because I thank God for my sisters, and I thank God that it's only three of us. I'm just being honest today. But when my mom died, one of the things that I said is, can I have my mother's books? And it was not an issue. You know, we all sat down, we talked, and everything, and we talked about that hard part of the will, and even though we were trying to get it into play and it was too late, we were thankful that we were able to just talk to one another and to say, you know, this, that, and the third. But to have that conversation with my mom, it meant so much to me to know that she was just like, Adia, yeah, you can have them books. You know, she didn't understand the value that it had, but they were my mother's books. These were books that she read. These were books that she used when she was going to school. And so I think that it's definitely important that we talk to our family members, that we have those conversations and not be scared, like Brother DeJuan said, that, you know, oh, my gosh, is this person dying? It's not that they're dying or that anything is wrong, but they're thinking about the future. Because a lot of times we're not thinking about the future, but we also understand that people are not going to be here forever. So why aren't we thinking about death? Why aren't we thinking about what is going to happen to us when we're no longer here? Why aren't we thinking about having life insurance? Because we talked about this several months ago. Why aren't we talking about those things? Why aren't we talking about having a medical power of attorney, which my mother did have? And I was so thankful because it made it easier when it came time to make decisions that, had she not had it, I'm just, you know, certain things you just like, I don't want to have that on my conscience. I don't want to have that burden should something happen to her. And so you think about those things, and because we don't know the day or the time when any of us, our lives are going to come to an end, it is so important that we put things in place and that we go through the procedures and that we update our wills and different things like that, and that we're having those conversations and that we share with our children, no matter how hard it may be. I can talk to my son and say, you know what, Mommy's not going to be here always. To let him know that, guess what, there's things that I have to do now in order to prepare you for your future, because I'm not going to be with you always, whether it's because we live far away or because I've died. And, you know, even when it comes to just using certain terms, we think a will and we think the person done passed on. Oh, my goodness. And just the reality of the conversations that we don't want to have, and we're scared to use certain words, you know. But the truth of the matter is, that's what it is. And if we do not prepare, we are doing our family members a disservice. We really, really are. We are setting them up to having to spend sometimes more money, you know, to have to become the executor of that estate, because we didn't do it. And like I think it was mentioned earlier, a lot of this stuff is not even that expensive. Sometimes you have services to where you can get these things done free. But if you die,